Star Market Celtics Tonight continues from the Garden on this holiday weekend. Holiday weather, it's nice and cool and cold and Christmassy. It's 70 degrees today. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market. It's just for you, digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I could easily kill time by talking about we had the exact same weather day your first year. It was a Sunday night game, your first game back in Indiana, and we came back to Boston after that for a couple of days before Christmas, and it was like warm and pouring rain and whatever, but that's the perfect
way. I did not come back.
That's right, you stayed.
I stayed.
You stayed.
Yep.
Yeah, well, in any case.
That was the night that Brady turned all of his allegiances to Boston sports.
Did something specific happen, or that was just the day you remember?
No, Tracy had a suite with a bunch of our friends in Indy. And a couple of the people that they invited and a couple of our friends, too, wore Pacers gear. And the Pacers were really good at the time.
Yes, they were.
And they were, I think they were the Eastern Conference Finals there a couple years in a row when we first started. And we were getting beat by 100. And, you know, it's getting out of control. And Brady is just sitting there like he's not ready for an 82-game season. He's not ready for the ups and downs. And they're just like shaking the pom-poms right in his face, and it's
I'll
like
do it.
And finally he turned to Tracy and said, I thought these were our friends. And ever since, he has been all Boston sports all the time. You can't talk to him about anything else. So that's how that happened in my house.
Strange bedfellows. All right, now we've killed a lot of time, so
that's
now we kind of have to go. Hey, listen,
that was the
I'll
Phoenix
be here all
segment,
night,
right?
Yeah, you'll be here. This is the filibuster one.
There you go.
All right, how much easier? And of course, that's the wrong word. It's not easy. What changes when you're playing without three extraordinarily important guys, particularly against Milwaukee, at least knowing or having an idea 24, 48 hours ahead of time as opposed to a game like the other night where all of a sudden you've got to make all those changes, one right before the game and then 1-2 minutes in?
Yeah, I mean, we're walking through and Marcus is in walkthrough and then all of a sudden he's out. And so we change our walkthrough and then we start the game great. Our first quarter was pretty good, and our first 2 minutes were outstanding. And obviously losing Baines when you're playing against a guy like Ayton hurts. But, you know, there were a lot of other things that we could have done better, and we've been good at adjusting on the fly as a team, and we just weren't as good the other night. Our third and fourth quarters really hurt us, and I don't know that it's as helpful to know guys are out or not know. I just know that when you're playing really talented guys, you want as many available bodies as you can get.
All right, the rebounding was ugly Wednesday, and one of the things that was interesting about it, at least to me, with Robert Williams now potentially playing more, is that the other night was a franchise record for blocks in a game. Celtics had 15 blocks. Is that a coincidence that it was such a bad defensive rebounding night, or is there a little connectivity between those things?
I think that, you know, a lot of those blocks are obviously coming when somebody else drives. It's not a one-on-one situation where you block somebody's shot as much as it is you're coming over and help. And a lot of times when you're rotating or scrambling, that's what opens up rebound opportunities. And that's something that, you know, we all have to get better at. As Baines and Al are out and Morris is out, those are three of our better defensive rebounders. And so we're going to have to do a great job as a team. And this team challenges you in similar ways. What they do is spread you out. You got to guard all five guys at the three-point line, or really four guys at the three-point line. But Giannis is so good now at not only driving and make a play for himself, but also realizing when a guy's not guarding him, he goes right into a dribble handoff. And so when he dribble hands off, if you're way back, there's nobody there to guard the shooter. You know, it's a subtle little play that he does over and over in a game, not too dissimilar from what we've seen Draymond Green do for the Golden State Warriors the last few years. And it's a real bear because you have to decide how high you want to pick Giannis up.
Did you deliberately ruin the premise that I was going to bring into this segment tonight, which is try to talk about the Bucks without mentioning Giannis to see if we could do it, and then you didn't even let me get to the first Milwaukee thing? Was that intentional?
No, I actually forgot about that. Yeah. I know we had that pre-discussion about
it. Because I thought
it's pretty
today,
hard to talk about them without mentioning him.
And if it's hard, it's worth doing. That was kind of my point.
That
was the challenge of, it can't be done. Well, this is what I was going to try. I was going to start with the fact that when we think of Eric Bledsoe, we think of him as an offensive player, and he is very dangerous offensively. But when you watch them, man, he has become a monster fighting through screens and just making it very difficult.
He has always been a physical guard. I think when you look at it now, Bud's teams have always played with great tenacity and flown around. And you can tell that that's becoming their MO there, and they're really good at it. What makes it really hard with him is he plays on top of you. And so if you're cutting along the baseline or if you're trying to come back to the ball, he is in denial a lot. So you've got to be a good screener, you've got to be a good cutter, and you've got to find other ways to get others open probably just as much as yourself if you don't start with the ball coming down the court, and he does a good job of pressuring as well.
Then I had this natural evolution of the game thing about big stepping out and shooting threes, mm-hmm. which actually has started this subculture of this time travel what if that a lot of people are talking about, is if what are these bigs from the olden days, from the 70s and 80s, well, how many of them could have stepped out to shoot him?
Right.
But to see what Brook Lopez, I mean, it's not that he's just meandering out there once in a while. He literally did not shoot threes his first 8 years in the league, and now he's on a pace to make 200 of them.
70% of his shots are threes. He posts one time a game. Obviously, that can change depending on matchups and the such. But, you know, he was one of the better post players in the league a couple of years ago. But he fits perfect with how they play. Again, if you put a five on Lopez and he just sinks and protects the rim and all those things, they just absolutely kills you. And if you put a five on Giannis, he's just too quick. So I think that's just it's a bad dilemma when you're trying to figure out how to guard him. And, you know, you got to play with multiple efforts. You got to have guys flying around. And you got to hope that that activity, you know, is productive.
You did it again. You got the name in again before I even got to the last one, which is that there are players that sometimes Max and I don't always agree. We always have the players that we kind of like this guy. And then together, once in a while, there's a player that we both just absolutely
Middleton.
Love. And you know what? Chris Middleton is one of them, but he's not the guy.
Brogdon.
There it is. Yeah. The guy that, you know, like Marcus Smart always makes a play. He's always going to make a play that may or may not show up. Brogdon, every time you watch the Bucks, and there's some stuff from shoot around today, we don't 100% know Brogdon's playing tonight, but every time he does, man, he makes a play.
55, 45, 98 this year. Yeah. And, you know, I always put in my notes when I type out my notes for the game, what guys are trending upward in what categories. And he's trending downward in the free throw line since we played him last because he was 100% when we played him last. No, he's a winner. He has been since college. He's a good example of a four-year guy that is smart, tough, always made the most out of every situation he's ever played in, and has just continuously gotten better. But I think it starts with his makeup. He's got great makeup.
That's the head coach. I was going to say we did it, but we didn't. But, man,
we tried.
He's good.
Yeah, that's right. Good call.
He's so good. Celtics and Bucks next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.